Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The saga of the election continues. So this week's program is going to be a continuation of last week's program, Question the Election. But to begin with, a word to those patriots who were somewhat discouraged by the election results. This is the question and the answer of Psalm 42. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. We're hearing some real discouragement on the part of Trump supporters, some conservative evangelicals. Biden is laying out his cabinet and his plans for the next administration, and it's going to be radical leftism. Now, it could be that some of this discouragement over the Trump loss is simply because some of these supporters have put too much hope in Trump. People by nature often get caught up in following men, the cult of personality. Hence, we have the instruction in Psalm 146:3, do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. As soon as we start looking to or trusting a political leader rather than God, God will make sure that political leader will fail and be removed off the scene. But much of this discouragement can also be legitimate. Godly discouragement. You know, it's right to rejoice in the win of a righteous administration and to groan over the win of an evil administration. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Why do they mourn? Have they forgotten Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good? Or Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for our good? Is mourning forgetting the sovereignty of God? No, because even Jesus wept over Jerusalem. We rejoice in the good things God brings out of evil, but we never rejoice in the evil itself. It is natural for God's people living in this world to mourn over sin. God tells the prophet Ezekiel that those who are his true people are those who will sigh and groan over the sins of Israel, and they will be the ones protected by God. Notice also in the Psalms, Psalm 119:53, burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law, or Psalm 119:136, mine eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. Even Abraham's nephew Lot, who was far from a perfect man, was grieved over the behavior of the Sodomites. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Do you feel your soul tormented by lawless deeds? That's really a good sign. So there's godly sorrow over sin and worldly sorrow, that misplaced hope in man. But I want to address this legitimate godly grief when evil prevails in the land, when, you know, wicked kings ascended the throne of Israel, when there were Roman emperors who persecuted the church, when Satan and his people seem to win and flourish for a time. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 16, for these things I weep. My eyes run down with water because far from me is a comforter, one who restores my soul. My children are desolate because the enemy has prevailed. Now, first-time listeners to this program or any right-leaning media site might think this sure is partisan, that I'm saying the Democratic Party is the reign of evil and the Republican Party is the reign of righteousness. Well, actually, that's what I'm saying. And I've explained this many times on this program, that there is not a moral equivalency between the two parties. On the political left, there is not only the legalization and the promotion of abortion, women murdering their babies in their womb, but also the promotion of homosexuality, the LGBTQ agenda, and that is clearly an abomination and a violation of the laws of God. And don't tell me that the left makes up for all of that by being righteous in regard to welcoming the illegal immigrant, by providing health care for the poor, by being anti-racist, and being against global warming. Let me throw up a slide to help explain this, because this is actually how some people think. This is how 20% of the professing evangelicals who voted for Biden actually think. And the idea is this, that the Republican Party wins the moral argument in this matter of pro-life and anti-LGBT, so they are the godly party in that matter. But the Democrats win the moral argument concerning being pro-immigrant, pro-support for the poor and the disadvantaged, anti-racism, pro-environmentalism. So therefore, what we have in America is a mixed multitude, or rather, neither party is perfectly right. So therefore, we must roll the dice on which values take precedent at any particular time in the political landscape. Now, I wish I had a dollar for every person who I talk with who expressed this view, I'd be a rich man. But here's the answer to this false dichotomy. There is a hierarchy in God's law. The preservation of life and sexual morality is the weightier matters of the law, so that these moral imperatives trump those lesser moral imperatives. It shouldn't matter if Adolf Hitler had a great social program he instituted in Germany. He doesn't get my vote if he is legalizing the genocide of the Jews. And if anyone is legalizing genocide, I doubt the sincerity of their other moral concerns. Second, I wouldn't even concede that the Republicans aren't engaged in taking care of the moral imperatives claimed by the Democrats. In other words, those four categories I put in the Democrat camp also belong in the Republican camp. Under the Trump administration, America has naturalized almost 1 million new citizens every year, more than under any year in the Obama administration. Trump's border wall has prevented much human trafficking and drugs. And those commands in the Old Testament to have compassion on the foreigner are not commands for a nation to have open borders. Also, we have had Medicare for the poor for the last 55 years. No one in America goes without health care. Republicans are for good, inexpensive health care. Trump passed laws reducing the price of prescription drugs. He passed the Right to Try Act. And Democrats aren't wanting to help the poor with health care any more than Republicans. What the Democrats simply want is for all health care to be put under the control of the government. And the Republicans are not any more racist than the Democrats. Remember, it was the Democratic Party that was the party of slavery and the Jim Crow laws, and more Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act than Democrats. Just last week, even the liberal commentator Bill Maher criticized the Democrats, saying, "You Democrats criticize the Republicans for saying, let's not see color, but you Democrats say, let's see it everywhere," which was formerly the position of the KKK. Last week, Stacey Abrams, you know, that political activist down in Georgia, said, "Identity politics is exactly who we are and exactly how we won." And then she urged fellow Democrats to embrace identity politics, the dividing and categorizing of people according to the color of their skin, which is the very definition of racism. And that's how these race baiters get their power, and how these so-called anti-racists actually become racists. And finally, CO2 is not a pollutant. It's a fertilizer for plants. The world is not coming to an end because there is a minute increase of CO2 in the atmosphere. The global warming hysteria is not environmentalism. It is naturalism, a superstitious worship of nature. So this so-called social justice on the left is likely based on the same reason they push for abortion and LGBTQ. It's nothing more than a promotion of lawlessness, freedom from God's law, freedom from personal responsibility, all under the guise of virtue. The only thing I would grant to the Democrats is that Republicans are not always consistent. Some are greedy. Some are ungodly, just like the Democrats. And Republicans are not very good at explaining themselves. Trump could do a whole lot better job of explaining his policies in a compassionate way. The Republicans have glaring faults because their leaders are not perfect. They're sinners too. But at least they are in the ballpark of Romans 13, the duty of government to be an avenger on those who practice evil. And most people don't like that. Everyone wants the parent who gives out cookie and ice creams. That's why conservatism is so hard to sell. But it's right. And in the long term, it benefits all of us. Sorry I had to stop and say all that. But whenever I do a program that is implying that a certain political party is more righteous, that Christians are depressed if that party loses, I need to explain, you know, that premise to new listeners, that it's not unreasonable that the defeat of the current administration is a source of discouragement for Christians. Even James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, wrote to the Christian community about this discouragement. Quote, "Dear friends, there is a heaviness within my spirit today on behalf of our beloved nation. I'm sure I share that sentiment with many of you. In a sense, Shirley and I are also grieving over the potential passing of an era during which I believe God gave America a spiritual reprieve. President Donald Trump was partially responsible for this crucial change of trajectory. He isn't a perfect man, and his relationship with the Lord is a very private matter. But he attempted during the first 4 years of his presidency to get acquainted with, to honor, and to learn from Christian leaders." Then Dobson makes some more remarks and he goes on to write, "Yes, I admire Donald Trump. He is sometimes brash and aggressive, but as a New York entrepreneur and as a president under siege, he had to be tough to deal with his challenges. But there is no doubt that he loves America and its people. Speaking personally, I will miss his presence on the national stage when he is no longer our president. By the way, we are told that 81% of evangelicals voted for Donald Trump this year, while only 14% voted for the Biden ticket, and I think I know why. I won't speculate on the voting controversy. If, however, American citizens have handed over the reins of power to the Biden-Harris ticket, it's important that we examine the platform on which they ran. Elections have consequences, and as we know, the promises made in writing and on the campaign trail should disturb every conservative Christian. Let's first look at the sanctity of human life. Mr. Biden has told us emphatically that he will bring an open season on the unborn child. This is what Life News wrote about him. He will force Americans to fund abortion during his first week in office. He will implement abortion on demand nationwide without limits. He will force Americans to fund Planned Parenthood, the biggest abortion provider. He will force Christians to fund abortion in their health insurance plans, and he will stack the courts with pro-abortion judges. That should break the heart of every lover of God's children. We as American citizens will be complicit in the death of millions." James Dobson, unquote. So need I say anything more? The loss of this Republican administration is very sad. But why are you in despair? Hope in God. These are times that try men's souls, or rather, try our faith. And this is what faith in God's promises is all about. Do we not believe? Have we forgotten Psalm 37? Do not fret because of evildoers. Verse 2, they will wither quickly like the grass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil doing, like unnecessary protests. Verse 9, for evildoers will be cut off. Verse 10, yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. Verse 13, the Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. Verse 15, their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Do we believe that psalm? Or how about Proverbs chapter 3, that a friend sent me after the election? Proverbs 3:25. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, or of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Or how about Psalm 92, verse 6? A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprout up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. So remember this principle, that right before God judges evil, he first exposes it by allowing it to reign. And the reign of evil is always a sign of its coming defeat. Psalm 92:8, but you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. It's now time to believe and apply those scriptures. And if you do not believe, you will not last. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. I'm halfway through reading Uncle Tom's Cabin. It's filled with so many great lessons. I believe next week's Thanksgiving program is going to be a book review of Uncle Tom's Cabin. Uncle Tom is the Christ figure in the story. He is suffering unjustly. And as his fellow slaves are experiencing all sorts of injustices, many of them are doubting that there is a God of justice. I mean, how could God look upon such suffering without coming to their aid? One black woman in the story commits suicide to escape from her suffering. But Uncle Tom encourages them to still believe in the Lord. Little did these slaves know, and little did even Harriet Beecher Stowe know back in 1852 when she wrote this novel, that in just 8 years, Judgment Day was coming. The Civil War, where 618,000 Americans would die, when the U.S. population was only 31 million. There were more deaths in the Civil War than World War II and World War I combined. God rescued and God vindicated the African Americans. In the words of Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, answering the question of when this war will end, Lincoln said, when every drop of blood drawn with the whip upon slaves was paid for by the blood of the sword. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So even though many of these slaves were in despair, doubting vindication, doubting the justice of God, in 8 short years, they would be vindicated. The slaveholding plantation owner would be bankrupt. Their wealth would be burned to the ground. The slaves would be freed. They'd be reunited with their families. So wait upon the Lord. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And Psalm 37:6, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. This is what it means to have faith. How would we think differently about our current situation if we could see the future? The day of judgment that will come upon America, which may not actually be that far off. Well, we don't need to see the future. We just need to believe what the word of God says about the future. Psalm 34:10, evil shall slay the wicked, and those that hate the righteous will be condemned. Or Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. So fear not, righteousness will always triumph over evil. And it doesn't simply wait to one final day of judgment. Be assured that evil will be discredited and rebuked all along the way. Not a day goes by without evil people kicking against the goats.
They are constantly having to cover up the terrible consequences of their false ideology. They are daily reaping the corruption that they have sown. The Hosea chapter 4, the swearing, the deception, the murder, the stealing, the adultery, the violence, the bloodshed. Jeremiah chapter 9, the proceeding from one evil to the next evil. They're always having to tell the public when their policies and their lifestyles are a disaster, there's nothing to see here. Look the other way. And so here's the evil that's going to be exposed and judged over the next few weeks. The news item that's going to explode. The good outcome from all of this election chaos. The revelation that wicked, unprincipled, ungodly people may have been rigging the election and tampering with votes, and they may have been doing this for years. The left thought that this election would be their vindication. When, as usual for the ungodly, it's probably going to be their indictment and their undoing. Just like all the other scandals they have been trying to perpetrate over the last few years. I want to cover this story again because in a small way it illustrates and foreshadows the vindication of God's people, the eventual exposing of all evil. This story that the voter machines have been tampered with is so outrageous that the media and many people are refusing to believe it or to report on it. If you want news about this election tampering, right now you just cannot get it on mainstream media, even among many conservative outlets. It's just too hot to touch. All the reporting and the investigation is coming from independent sites like this one in Texas, an interview with Russ Ramsland, an election security expert with Allied Security Operations.
Basically, what most Americans don't understand is that voting is done by private companies. The elections are conducted by private companies under contract from the county. And we went in and started looking at these private companies and their software and their security, and we realized, first off, there are no security standards. So there are no national standards that any voting company needs to meet as far as the security on their software. And as a result of that, we then began to look and we realized how easy it is to change votes. The software is so bad you can easily change the audit trail so that later you cannot even forensically go back and find out the votes that were changed. And that led us to a number of areas. One, we said, well, what happens to your vote after whatever the voting company locally does to it? What happens to it? Well, it turns out in the case of Texas and 28 other states, it all goes to a server in Frankfurt, Germany, which is owned by Barcelona, Spain multinational. And that's who actually controls and reports your vote.
I got to jump in. So here in Texas, if you vote early, and so your vote is being stored, you think, safely somewhere, the data about all the votes in Texas and 27 other states, the early voting data, is actually being held in a server in Germany.
That is correct. And not only that, gracious, but in their process, and by a company called Seidel, and in their process, we can even see malware sitting there collecting all the credentials of all the county workers everywhere who are submitting information up, which means you can now go back into the county and change votes there too. So you don't just change it in Frankfurt, you can go back and even change it here. And the software is just that bad, and it is that insecure that someone with a reasonable knowledge of hacking could absolutely go in and change it. And we're seeing now the issue you were talking about with all the vote harvesting and absentee and early voting and mail-in voting. We're seeing what happens when software that is that bad gets out.
Just to note, that interview was filmed before the election on October 29th, so this was not just sour grapes over losing. America is about to rediscover the evil that lurks in darkness, that all men are liars, and that lies and not truth prevail in the land. And this has been one of the amazing marks of the Trump administration, the exposure of evil, When the swamp is drained, you see all the creepy crawlies that were in the swamp. Since the Trump administration, the public has finally discovered how the press is the propaganda arm of the Democratic Party. Their bias has been exposed for everyone to see. We've also discovered how politicians will promote and believe outrageous lies against their opponent. There has been the exposure of all sorts of movements trying to undermine American values, the America's founding, even the very existence of America, you know, through the agenda of BLM and, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the social media censorship, the cancel culture, the Marxist critical theory, globalism. One thing we can be assured of, God is so moved in the political events over the last few years to show us the Antichrist spirit that's pervasive in the world. This is all for our education. This is all to warn us. So here's the story. An interview with Sidney Powell, a lawyer on the Trump team, claiming staggering evidence of election fraud. Trump attorney Sidney Powell says she'll soon release the Kraken on the 2020 election. At least 30 states use Dominion voting machines and software called Smartmatic. Sidney Powell, one of the leading lawyers on the Trump team, has sworn affidavits by insiders who say that the software was designed to and is used for rigging elections. It was used to rig elections in many countries. These voting machines are not secure. Data can be manipulated off-site. Quote, the shutting down of the voting system for a time, like we saw on election night in Georgia, Michigan, is the same play that happens in other countries when the votes get manipulated. Powell says she has evidence that fake votes were uploaded multiple times in Michigan. These affidavits, these whistleblower programmers say that this software can wipe away or switch votes. People who control the software can watch votes in real time and shift votes in real time. The state of Texas refused to use Dominion machines and the software because they discovered it wasn't secure. And Sidney Powell says that the states that bought Dominion products should be investigated for criminal behavior. There's evidence of kickbacks given to politicians who buy Dominion products. And Peter Neffinger, who is on the board of Dominion, is part of Biden's transition team. Rudy Giuliani is calling for a national security investigation into Dominion. Now, Sidney Powell is not one of those crazy conspiracy theorists. She is a level-headed mainstream lawyer who's been in the news for years. Yet she is claiming that Trump won by millions of votes that were shifted to Biden by software designed for that purpose. Powell was being interviewed by Maria Bartiromona on Fox News, and even Bartiromona was shocked. She asked Powell if she could prove all this. And Powell says that she has plenty of evidence and it's building. Powell said, I would never say anything I cannot prove.
Because we're fixing to overturn the results of the election in multiple states. And President Trump won by not just hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions of votes that were shifted by this software that was designed expressly for that purpose. We have sworn witness testimony of why the software was designed. It was designed to rig elections. He was fully briefed on it. He saw it happen in other countries. It was exported internationally for profit by the people that are behind Smartmatic and Dominion. They did this on purpose. It was calculated. They've done it before. We have evidence from 2016 in California. We have so much evidence, I feel like it's coming in through a fire hose.
Wow. So, Sidney, you feel that you will be able to prove this. Do you have the software in your possession? Do you have the hardware in your possession? How will you prove this, Sidney?
Well, I've got lots of ways to prove it, Maria, but I'm not going to tell on national TV what all we have. I just can't do that.
Now, personally, for what it's worth, I've always questioned the legitimacy of electronic voting machines, and I'm sure you have also. Once your vote is turned into a digital signal, a zero on some hard drive, it can easily be manipulated by a programmer. These machines invite fraud. I mean, who in their right mind ever implemented such a system? What we really need is a printer connected to every voting machine. And it prints out the voter's vote. And the voter checks the printout. The voter gets a receipt of the printout. And the print is put into a separate bin and guarded by police and poll watchers. And the paper record is kept completely separate from the electronic record. The computer is simply for a faster tabulation of the votes, but the paper record is the true vote. I mean, this is obviously the only safe way to run an election, but no, our civic leaders don't do the obvious, either because they're corrupt or because they're just so gullible and naive. Here's an article citing a piece in the New York Times back in 2018. Flashback: University of Michigan computer scientist warns about voting machine vulnerabilities in 2018. In April of 2018, the New York Times published an opinion video featuring Alex Holderman, a University of Michigan computer scientist, demonstrating how easily it would be to rig a voting machine. In the video, Holderman demonstrates how voting machines are dangerous and obsolete by holding a mock election with University of Michigan students. Holderman had previously testified before Congress, warning that computerized voting is vulnerable to sabotage and cyber attacks that could change votes. I'm here to tell you that the electronic voting machines America got to solve the problem of voting integrity turned out to be an awful idea. That's because people like me can hack them all too easily. Here's an article from Scientific America. An expert on voting machines explains how they work. Although the technology used in voting continues to evolve, it remains vulnerable to both malicious and unintentional errors. To protect the system against both, explains Douglas Jones, a computer scientist at the University of Iowa and co-author of the book Broken Ballot, election officials need to be able to check and double-check election results. The article then goes on to explain how states got rid of all of those old punch cards machines and those mechanical lever voting machines, and they were replaced with direct recording digital electronic voting machines. But, says this expert, they were extraordinarily problematic for security reasons. A fundamental flaw of direct recording voting machines: all of those machines end up being completely impossible to audit. There is no way to know whether the machine was honest or not, short of taking it apart and actually being able to inspect the mechanism. We have no good way of doing that with software. There is a complete lack of any audible records of the count, so you have to completely trust programmers, and that's a real problem. Do you think? So imagine what's going to happen if this all turns out to be true. Dominion insiders, someone controlling the software, manipulated the vote. Just like when we learned the Russian collusion story was a big hoax. But this is even bigger. It's going to be a major upheaval in America. The election results are going to go to the Supreme Court. We might have to have another election. And people are going to lose their trust in government, which might be a good thing, because the whole basis for leftism is an undying trust in the power of government. And it's good that it's undermined. At the very least, we're going to learn from this what I pointed out last week, Psalm 116. All men are liars. Romans chapter 3, with their tongues, they keep deceiving. Now, we don't know yet what the evidence will be, whether fraud can be proved. But given what we know about the human condition, guess where the bias should be? Assume that there's cheating. The burden of proof should not be that Trump and his team needs to prove fraud. The burden of proof is for the media and these Dominion people and the deep state to prove that elections are without fraud. Now, when this story broke out, immediately the media, for some strange reason, began to deny any possibility of voter fraud. And that's amazing because they spoke as if they were absolutely sure there could be no voter fraud. Here are some clips from a Tucker Carlson piece.
Or loser, President Trump casting doubt on the legitimacy of the election with no evidence.
I see no evidence of voter fraud.
There have been no irregularities.
Bogus allegations of voting irregularities.
There's no evidence.
No evidence whatsoever.
There is no evidence. This is a fantasy.
And they might be surprised to learn that even after her death, Deborah Jean Christensen still managed to register to vote and then cast a ballot.
In Antrim County, ballots were counted for Democrats that were meant for Republicans, causing a 6,000 vote swing against our candidates.
There are hundreds of reports of our poll watchers being intimidated and unable to do their job.
So $55,000 for 5,000 votes, confident and eager Biden.
That's right.
Hey, not a problem, man. I'm going to see if I can get you some, like a little nice little head for it.
Says that I fabricated the allegations of ballot tampering. I'm here to say that I did not recant my statements.
To be clear, there is no evidence of widespread voter fraud. There isn't evidence of little-scale voter fraud.
Mr. Blalock was a mailman for 33 years until he passed away in 2006. James Blalock cast a ballot in last week's election.
Republican poll watchers were denied their legal right to monitor the election with poll workers blocking windows and padlocking doors.
They don't have enough GOP people in there, and they won't let us in. It's complete nonsense.
It was clear that Detroit city election workers were scanning and counting ballots for voters whose names did not appear in the voter rolls.
There is, of course, no evidence of any widespread voter fraud of any kind.
No evidence. None.
Have you seen any evidence of fraud, any irregularities even, in the vote counting in Pennsylvania?
No, and I think that statement is accurate.
Supposedly observing, but we can't see.
And I will tell you, there is corruption at the highest level in the city of Philadelphia.
Tell us how many ballots approximately went through that process that you had no chance to observe.
About 125,000, maybe more.
If the question is, are the Democrats stealing votes in Philadelphia? My answer is the Pope Catholic?
We need to be very clear and precise about this. There is no evidence at all.
Actually, there is none. There is no evidence.
There's no evidence of that.
Absolutely no evidence.
There's no evidence of voter fraud.
The lack of any significant irregularities anywhere.
We have received over 100 incident reports of irregularities.
So according to the media, there is no evidence whatsoever. Notice no one is asking these media pundits, what if it comes to light that Dominion voting machines have been tampered with? That votes were switched from Trump to Biden? What will they say then? Why aren't they even considering that possibility? New York Times article, no Dominion voting machines did not delete Trump votes. Here's an article from PolitiFact, no evidence Dominion voting systems caused widespread tabulation errors that flipped votes for Biden. Well, of course there's no evidence. It's impossible to audit these machines. So this was their knee-jerk reaction to Trump forwarding a tweet that Dominion voting machines deleted 2.7 million votes for Trump nationwide. Also, to counter Trump's tweet, a group of top cybersecurity officials said in a statement Thursday that the November 3rd elections were the most secure in America's history. Well, that's crazy. You know, the most secure. The first rule in writing or speaking is never use superlatives. Quote, the committee, which was composed of members from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, the CISA, and election officials, countered President Trump's claims of voter fraud. Again, so how do they know this for sure? When other people who actually do the programming are testifying that the software was tampered with. Trump responded the other day by firing that cybersecurity chief, Chris Krebs. And it's kind of reasonable that Trump fired him, because it's unwise and it's premature to go to the media claiming that there is no election fraud before an investigation has even taken place. That's like the media saying that Trump colluded with the Russians before an investigation had taken place. Even if Krebs thought that he was right, he should have said something like, given what I know right now, the election was secure, but we're waiting on other evidence to the contrary. That would be a reasonable response to the media. His confidence should have been tempered with some political reality, and then he'd still have a job. Here's an interesting story. Republican Congressman Denver Ringelman from Virginia, he said, quote, Trump and his followers are on a crazy train with unhinged election conspiracies. But Ringelman will not be going back to Congress in January. Ringelman supports gay marriage. And so he lost in the primary to a more conservative Republican, Bob Good. Quote, Ringelman angered Virginia Republicans by officiating at a wedding between two men a year ago and was defeated in the Republican primary last summer by Bob Good, who describes himself as a biblical conservative. But isn't it interesting how your moral worldview affects whether you trust or do not trust the election results? So if you want to look more into this, check out this article on Grabian News, National Election Fraud, Evidence of National Chicanery During America's 2020 Presidential Election. And the article lists all of the irregularities that have been discovered so far. Known glitches in the software that favored Biden, an unheard of 90% voter turnout for Biden in some cities when voter turnout in similar cities was only 50%, unusual last-minute arrivals of mail-in ballots, Biden outperforming the vote count of President Obama in some areas. There was an unusual amount of Biden-only ballots where voters didn't vote down ballot for any other candidate, and that never takes place in these numbers. Then there were all the ties between the Democrats and the Dominion voting machine company. And it's also unusual that Republicans won so many seats in the House, yet didn't win the presidency. There were 27 contested House seats, and the Republicans won all 27. All this needs to be investigated. Let's hope and pray that it will be investigated. So by way of conclusion, are you depressed or discouraged over the election results? Well, what were you thinking? That Satan had given up dominion of this earth? That all of a sudden men decided to become angels? Or that maybe some sort of post-millennialism is true and the nations of the earth are all of a sudden going to become Christian? No, the Bible says that evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse. You know, 2 Timothy 3:13. The battle will continue right up until the apocalypse and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old line from a poem by Thomas More being circulated on the internet. It was quoted by Ronald Reagan after he lost the primary in his first run for president. "Fight on, my men," says Sir Andrew Barton. "I am hurt, but I'm not slain. I lay me down and bleed a while, and then I'll rise and fight again." Or how about this quote from C.S. Lewis? "The world thinks Christianity is dying of old age, but it has thought that way often before. Again and again, it has thought Christianity was dying by persecution from without and corruption from within. By the rise of Islam, by the rise of physical science, the rise of great anti-Christian revolutionary movements. But every time the world has been disappointed. Its first disappointment was over the crucifixion. The man came to life again." In a sense, and quite realize how unfair this must have seemed to them, this has been happening ever since. They keep killing the thing that he started, and each time, just as they're patting down the earth on its grave, they suddenly hear that it's alive and has even broken out in some new place. No wonder they hate us. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, Book 4, Chapter 11, New Men. Christ and his truth will win. He snatches victory from the jaws of defeat. And that's the whole theme of the book of the Revelation. The battle hymn of the Republic. His truth is marching on. So Trump may be president or he may not be president, but God's plan is to expose and judge evil. Psalm chapter 9. God will not let man prevail. The nations will be judged before him. He will put them in fear and make them know they are but men. If you get a chance, read Psalm chapter 9. Verse 3, the enemy will stumble and perish. Verse 4, God will maintain our just cause. Verse 5, God will rebuke the nations and destroy the wicked. Verse 6, the enemy will come to perpetual ruin. And verse 17, the wicked will be returned to hell and all nations that forget God. That's some encouragement there. Now, some listeners have asked me, what are we supposed to do? We feel so helpless. Well, if we're not called to be an investigative reporter, if we're not called to audit the votes, there is not a whole lot we can do. All we can do is be 100% faithful to the calling that God has upon our lives. We can post on social media. We can spread information. But most important, we can exercise faith and believe, and we can pray. Faith and prayer make a huge impact. It's by our prayer that God raises up lawyers like Sidney Powell and organizations like Judicial Watch and the Family Policy Council and the Alliance Defending Freedom and many other honest, good civil leaders who promote righteousness. So pray that righteousness would be exalted, that evil would be exposed. That's a wrap. Thanks for including God and country as just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to like, to comment, to share, to subscribe, and may Jesus Christ reign.